I guess I think that's better. But did your dad go? Did your dad go or see the back?
No, he should
go. Okay, I know you said he had something later, so I know if he's gonna stay for long. But we'll go ahead and get started. If you'll bow with me, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you at this time, so thankful for this day of worship. We pray that everything that has been done this morning was done in accordance with your will and was a sweet savor unto you. We ask that you be with us now as men of this congregation as we meet to discuss the issues of this group and make decisions of this group, that you would help us to have the wisdom and the knowledge needed to do that, to make the decisions that would be pleasing to you and acceptable, that would go along with your will, and that would further your kingdom. We ask that you help us to have as always, have the love for each other that we should, and that we would be patient with one another, and that we would look to you for guidance. We ask all these things to your son's name. Amen. So, again, Spencer Port, some look at this, some don't, but nothing really new. The only really new things I have... we got the sign. It's just not up yet. So we had bought that sign. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. And then also, I wanted to let y'all know, I posted the reports that I have received since we last met on the board in the back. And so those are back there for any of those that might be interested. The one from Thandu, the first that we've got from him, is back there. So I wanted to make you aware of that. And does anybody, before I turn it over to Dad for what we're going to be discussing the bulk of this morning, does anybody have anything that they needed to mention or bring up real quickly?
Let me speak for again. Whatever happened with the whole Roomba thing?
It was just set aside for, yeah. I mean,
I think Aaron was going to do some experimentation, but he, I don't know if it's happened or not. He's not able to stay today because of his parents.
Anybody else? All right, then I'm going to turn it over to Dad.
Pray your indulgence for just a few moments. It's not going to take long what I have to say. I was told by an older preacher when I first started preaching that when you start in a congregation, you have a limited amount of capital when it comes to goodwill. And you always have to be real careful with regard to how you spend that, because when it's gone, it's gone. And I've always tried to keep that in mind and be as frugal with regard to spending that capital as possible. But today I've got something I want to say, and I'm going to speak plainly, and I want your indulgence and to be for you to take it in the way it's intended, because of love and care for every individual as well as the whole of the congregation. And I'm going to read it because I don't want to misstate anything. So I've always tried to strike a balance as a gospel preacher, to defend the truth but never be a hobbyist, to strive for doctrinal purity but never be contentious when contending for the faith. The reason for this is because my overriding concern as a preacher of the gospel is the welfare of the congregation where I am preaching, both as a whole, as well as each member individually. I think that's what the scripture demands. And that is especially true when you're dealing with brethren. There's a text that you are familiar with from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. See, that's the question, what does that take? Well, it takes wisdom, it takes willingness, it takes humility, and it takes self-awareness, and then it takes an understanding of the importance of truth. But what we're talking about today is that, in fact, that two Sundays ago, Rick and Josh Jackson were discussing point of doctrine, and a number of you witnessed that the discussion devolved into a loud discussion or argument. Was witnessed by a number of individuals in the congregation. And as I understand it, because I had already left, that was the day I wasn't feeling well, they were asked to either stop or take it outside. And I think they went outside and discussed it further. This situation is a sinful situation. And I think that it showed a lack of self-awareness on the part of both Rick and Josh. What I want y'all to remember is that we have a number of Christians who have only been Christians for a short while. And whenever we act the way we act, and others see that, it can be destructive to the welfare of the congregation and the faith, especially of those who are babes in Christ. I appreciated very much Rick's willingness to come forward that same day and confess sin in the matter. But unfortunately, nothing about this issue between Josh and Rick has been settled. And brethren who should be expressing love and patience with one another, you two, are no longer even capable of speaking to one another. And Josh called Rick false teacher, so this is a serious situation. He wants the brethren to deal with him. And I know that most of the brethren here today, they have only recently become aware of the fact that there is a problem and probably are not aware of what the problem is. And I just want you to understand that that needs to come first. Everyone needs to be aware of what the situation is. So what I would like to do is share a couple of scriptural principles with the men here and to propose a possible way that we can help deal with this particular situation. So I'm going to do two things. The first thing I would like to do is read an article that I wrote that's in the bulletin this week, so you can get that bulletin if you would like to read it on your own. But it was written specifically because I was preparing for this day. The title of the bulletin article is Love One Another, and it's a short one. It's the two-page one that's in the inside cover. When we advocate for authority for all of our practices, invariably some will seek to contrast such a position with the counterpoint of loving one another, as if the two are contradictory, and they're not. Why would the two be perceived as counterintuitive to one another? Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, some may not realize that when we convict others of sin, that's an act of love. Since the condemnation of sin can be unpleasant, it's perceived as unloving. But Paul said in Galatians 6, as we read before, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's an act of love to bring someone back from sin to reconciliation. But there is also a second possibility. It may be that some are less than loving in their attempts to maintain allegiance to God's law. And for such individuals, Jesus also had something to say. He said in Matthew 23, when he pronounced his woe to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, "You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and then swallow a camel." And I think for too many, our question is a matter of either or. Either you stand for truth or you love your brother, and it's not so. A man who refuses to stand for truth and call for authority for all we do because he's afraid that such a contention lacks love, he's wrong about that. The man who is quick to condemn and write off anyone who does not immediately agree with his view of what truth is tacitly showing a lack of love for his brother. This is just as worthy of condemnation as a departure from God's will, because it is a departure from God's will. The scribe asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you treat your brother in an unloving fashion, it doesn't matter if you hold the truth, you're guilty of sin. So how do we avoid this? Well, consider a few suggestions when dealing with brethren. First of all, assume integrity. The idea that since I stand for truth, I'm honest, but if he disagrees, his heart is wrong, that's one that's fraught with danger, because it judges the heart of man, and that is a standard that can easily end in the condemnation of self, as Matthew 7:1 makes clear. Be long-suffering. When a mistaken view is held, it can take time to come to truth. It is never appropriate to have a one-and-done attitude when it comes to disagreements regarding the faith. It takes time to work with others to bring them to a proper understanding of truth, and patience is needed. And then thirdly, check yourself. Unpleasant conflict is not always the fault of the one who may be in error. It is the fault of the one who's being unpleasant. That means that even if you hold the truth, you can be a problem. Are you arrogant? You better humble yourself. Are you plain-spoken? You better learn how to be diplomatic to temper your words. Do you have an abrasive personality? I'm sorry for you. Maybe you should realize that your personality is a hindrance to your spirituality and make a change. A stand for doctrinal truth is not effective if the attitude of the one making the stand contributes to division rather than unity. Too often, brethren deceive themselves when they bring strife, thinking themselves to be justified because they're right and the other is wrong. And they forget the words of our Savior, to love one another as I have loved you. Now, I would like you to note a couple of passages very quickly, and then my time will be finished. First one's Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. It talks about the need for there to be humility in our interactions with one another. If there's any consolation in Christ, this is Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. And most importantly, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think this should govern our thinking and our actions. And from what I understand about that interaction between you, Josh and Rick, that this was lacking 2 weeks ago. There's a text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2 where the Apostle Paul said, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche have the ignominious distinction of being called out by name as lacking in Paul's call to be of the same mind. You'll notice in verse 3, he said, I urge you also, true companion, to help these women. They were in need of help in order to come to agreement. I pray that that's what happened. There's nothing that's said after concerning Euodia and Syntyche as to whether they were able to come to agreement or not. Rick and Josh, I implore you to be of the same mind in the Lord. And since it seems like you struggled in that a couple of weeks ago in the discussion that you've had and the repercussions of that, it seems like you need help. And so this is the suggestion that I would like to share with the men. First, I would like the permission of the men to help Josh and Rick come to a unity of the faith. I want to be leading in that, although I want all of the men to be involved. It's something we'll have to decide upon. It's my view that someone with experience and with a more settled demeanor should intervene in this situation, because both have expressed deficiencies regarding their personality and temper when in the midst of controversy. And I agree that they are both lacking in that. And so my suggestion would be that all the men gather for a Bible study that I can lead, where we'll discuss the primary doctrinal consideration that is the point of contention. It is primarily regarding the observance of the Lord's Supper and circumstances surrounding that. After the presentation of the material, we could discuss the issue, but Rick and Josh, you need to promise to remain calm and in control of your tempers and to listen to what all of the men have to say on the matter. Since the issue surrounds Rick's belief, he certainly should defend his position, unless I can, in my lesson, convince him that his view is an error because we differ on that particular contention that he makes. I don't believe that Josh should have a prominent role in this because of what has already happened, and he and Rick have not been able to have a civil discourse, as others have witnessed. But I don't really think that this men's meeting today is the appropriate place to hash it out, primarily because most of the men are unaware of the dispute, and I do not think that if Josh and Rick take the lead in this, in hashing this out, I don't think it's going to end well. I don't think it would be beneficial at all. And so, both of you, I think, from what I have perceived, and this is where I'm going to speak as plainly as I can with love in my heart, but I think that sometimes you lack self-awareness. I think that the actions 2 weeks ago was indefensible, and it caused problems. It caused concern and distress with regard to the members of the congregation, those who were seeing it. And so before we leave today, I feel there's a need to pray for both of you, all of us too. And that we always, going forward, as we discuss these issues and try to come to an understanding and a settling of the issues, to keep the Lord and our brethren in the forefront of our minds going forward. So that's what I had to say about it. Do you want to take back over, or do you want me to stay up here? Okay. Well, Josh wants me to stay over, so Justin?
One just minor point of fact, especially as we're being reported, I don't believe that they were told or asked to go outside. I think they did that of their own accord.
Okay. I was either misled or misunderstood in there. Yes, Josh.
Brothers, two weeks ago, it did not start intensely. The discussion, it
most certainly ended that way. My thought, by engaging it in hindsight, probably should have just let it all pass, but I felt I needed to express things to brother that I contend with him and I withstand him to his face, and that's how it started out. Now, many of you know from times past that I am intense from time to time in my discussions and my discourse. Sometimes I have not always kept myself reined in. But I have been striving to exercise more control over my nervousness of the situation, of my fighting through that to get my job done as a Christian. Now, I did not feel personally that at the time, and obviously that would be personal bias, that I had lost restraint, but I have definitely, in no uncertain terms, been called out today for my actions and how they were perceived, and I stand accused, and for that, it does hurt, but I know that it comes from a position of love and for everyone, including myself, for me to be called on this. So I thank you for that, Brother Stan. I thank you, gentlemen, for hearing it. And this is to a point that I discussed with a few of the brothers. We must take heed. We must take heed. And this is my fear. Every time I take a stand, it is my fear that I do not take sufficient heed, that I fall. And it appears that I have fallen to the opinion of others. And so I ask your forgiveness for my conduct, seeing as it was deficient and lacking. And I pray that you would continue to be patient with me as I continue to bring myself under control. Thank you, brothers.
Appreciate that, Josh. Does anyone have any objection to us kind of going forward with this idea of studying together and trying to reconcile any deficiencies, differences, understanding the nature of those differences, the extent of them, and trying to come to unity of the spirit and the bond of peace? Sure.
I've been thinking long and hard about this particular day.
Today or?
Today.
Okay.
I made peace with my actions. I was wrong with what I did and how I reacted. I have had struggles with that all of my life. I'm a very intense person, as Josh mentioned as well. And I have constantly had issues with this. And I struggle with this every day. But I also sang the same songs we sang this morning. And when I know something in my mind, and I've got it convinced in my mind that that's right, I have to contend earnestly, just like everyone else has to, for their stance. But what I'm gathering from the conversation with Josh and from the context of the songs is that he's ready to go to war with me, and I don't want to go to war. I want to do everything in my power to prevent war. I want to know the truth. I can be wrong. I know I'm wrong. I've had to eat crow probably more than everybody in this room. Because when I get a point, I argue it, I ask questions, And when I'm shown I'm wrong, I'm like, okay, I'm wrong. It takes a lot, and yeah, it's painful, but I have to do it because I've got to be strong in faith, but then ready to be corrected as well. And so I've sought counsel from others. I've talked to you about this. I've talked to Dennis Scroggins. I've talked to Louis Zamora. I've talked to Kyle Austin. I've talked to many people who I'm considering to be counselors to me. Someone I can look up to that will help me see things. And I haven't been completely convinced of the arguments laid before me. They don't seem to harmonize. But here's my point of all that. In a spirit of diplomacy and out of not wanting to go to war over these things, because I feel like this is a matter of judgment. I know my brother disagrees. I remove myself from all teaching here at this congregation. I will not participate in prayers. I will not participate in leading songs until further notice. My attempt here is to learn and grow spiritually. And if I'm wrong, I will make that change. But please know that if I am correct, that I have to do what God asked me to do and stand for the truth. And I expect everyone in here to expect me to do that.
Certainly. There's no disagreement in regard to that at all. Generously for the faith.
It's never a good thing to be at odds with a brother. And quite frankly, it caught me off guard. I went to admonish my brother for choosing not to go to the men's study because of his opinion of it. And it turned into an argument about my stance. It was a deflection. And I didn't like, I was caught off guard. And I did not control myself. But that, it's not about him, it's about me and what I did wrong. And I am trying to fix it. I want to study, but I'm also going to ask questions. And asking questions is by no means false teaching.
No. No mistake there.
So until further notice, I will be in the background. I will be here to listen and to learn.
It's a matter of judgment, Rick, in regard to that, as far as, again, you've got a situation here where most of the men of the congregation aren't even aware of what's going on. And if some are, it's only a piecemeal. And I'm not privy to the discussions that you've had other than the discussions
that I've
had. Because
Jared is my student at this moment, I do not want to put Josh in the position of having to worry about what I'm teaching.
Well, that's a judgment that you can supply. I hate for withdrawal to the extent that you're mentioning, but at the same time, maybe I understand the benefit of that. But I do think, do you not agree that it would still be good for us to have a study?
Well, I agree. Reconciliation. Study, absolutely. Yeah.
I disagree with that. Okay, so then the next point would be to establish a time when we can begin this study, because this is not something we can do once a month. I don't think we need to get on it. Anybody have any suggestion? Because I'm the one that's flexible for the most part. Regarding my work schedule.
Your wife can babysit. I'm flexible most evenings.
She'll be able to. I've got family here till Wednesday, but after that, open even this week if we need it. Huh? I'm sorry, Dick. What time can we come together and meet on that? You're pretty flexible too in the evenings, aren't you?
Well, except late, like 7:30 Sunday evening is late.
Yeah, I know. Does anyone have a suggestion?
I'm not available during the week. I have a pretty rugged schedule during the week, starting Monday night. But on weekends, beginning Friday morning, I'm good. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I would like for you to be there. Yeah, I really would. Would Saturday be okay for everybody?
This Saturday?
We could start it this Saturday, certainly.
Why? I ask because I'm out of town.
You're out of town this Saturday. I guess that's a problem. We're going to have a hard time getting everybody at the same time. I don't know how many times we're going to have to meet in order to deal with this. How about if we record it, and that way you could listen?
That'd be okay. Yeah.
Okay. Would Saturday be okay for the majority?
What time?
What time would be best in the day, during the day?
I suggest earlier, just for the fact that if we do it later, then we're not going to want to continue.
Yeah.
We'll want to end prematurely.
One in the afternoon?
Good.
Anybody disagree?
My schedule is incredibly random, so we'll see.
Okay. All right, 1 o'clock Saturday, we're going to be discussing the Lord's Supper.
You did mention a time, huh?
1 o'clock Saturday.
I don't know why people don't speak up. I mean, I know everybody out here, but...
We just forget, because all of us can hear each other, and we just, it's hard for us to...
1 o'clock on Saturday.
1 o'clock Saturday,
now,
and I can come get you.
Beforehand, what we're going to talk about?
Lord's Supper. Hmm? The Lord's Supper, and I'm going to present a lesson on it first, and then we're going to have a discussion after. All right, Josh. Yes.
Just real quick, just wanted to offer advice that, Josh, you say what you just said here to the congregation, just because there are people who are out there that aren't in here, that would be good for them to hear.
That is most definitely fair.
Josh.
I don't have anything else, brother. Does anybody else have anything?
What's pending is the preacher there in India. What's the latest on that?
He didn't hear what you said before about posting.
We received a report from him. We asked him, remember, we decided to, for the time being, continue supporting him. Okay. And we gave him some more instructions about wanting reports. And he has sent the first report that is posted on the back there.
And it does include all the subjects that he taught on during the month. Yeah. So the
It does.
All of the sermon. Yeah.
It's on the Facebook group also.
Yes.
It's on what?
On the Facebook group also.
Westside Facebook group.
Oh, that's what you posted on?
Yes.
On him?
Okay. Right.
And one was brought out, I didn't hear it, that he said, well, he's going to send, send him quarterly, and he was going to send quarter reports, and we brought out that he should do it monthly. I didn't hear that.
I just know he sent one. He sent one from
his intent. I think I instructed him to send a monthly report.
A month.
I think he's going to, yeah.
He needs to just send it monthly.
Monthly, yeah. Correct.
Okay.
And I will post those as I receive them.
All right, we've got one other thing.
All right, what's that?
Where I live is 2.2 miles from here west. And Jim goes by there, but I know him, but you, and Josh goes by that real, out to Benbrook. I need a ride home.
Right now?
You talking about right now?
After with me. I don't want to take Stan away from his family.
I could take you, Dick. I could take you.
Okay.
I'd already told him I'd thank you, but okay. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, I did indicate, I think, a need for a prayer.
Prayer.
Yeah,
oh,
if
yes.
One of the men would pray that prayer, I'd appreciate it.
Would you mind, Dennis?
Sure. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer, thankful to thee for your love for us and your desire for us to be in fellowship with one another. We understand, Father, that sometimes that can be difficult. We ask you to bless us as we attend to this matter, and as the truth comes out, that we might be able to be successful in resolving the issue, so that brethren may be dwell together in harmony. Father, not only these two, but many of us struggle with sins that have their root in pride. And we ask, Father, that you'd help us to think upon how that before you, we have nothing to be proud of. We have no rights to demand this or that. And we have no reason to be angry at anyone. Help us, Father, to learn how to overcome such strong emotions and to realize that we have to be very, very patient with one another, long-suffering, because you are with us. And we ask you to forgive us, each and every one of us, that have struggled with this as well. We ask you to bless us, Father, as we meet this Saturday and help us as we prepare for that and partake in it, that the outcome will be exactly what you would like for it to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So about this, think about this Saturday degree. I'm in assisted living. And could we get up into 1:30? Because that's brunch time. They only serve one meal. Is there any problem with making it 1:30?
That's fair enough. Guy's got to eat.
Yeah. 1:30 is fine. 1:30 Saturday. I'll make note of it and send out a message to everyone about it.
Thank you.